is RSP The Update, episode 407, recorded Friday, April 5th, 2013. Mr. Broccoli. Hello, everybody, and welcome to RSBNB Update. We thank you for joining us. Just the two of us here this week. Say hello.
Hi, guys. Shane actually remembered me this week.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry about that last week. That's unfortunate.
It's okay.
But you know, I...
Yes, I know you care.
Yes, I do care. You know, it's just so... I was focusing last week on Paul's introduction, because, you know, he... We really got to do Paul's introduction when he's on. So, anyways. Okay. So, this week we're going to discuss RuneScape stuff, and we have a whole nice, big, thick stack of stuff to get through. So let's not waste any time, and let's get right down to it. So, first up, Dungeoneering, Dual Wielding, and the Charming Imp. You know, I think this is such a charming little update.
Pun intended?
Yes, of course. Of course. Why wouldn't the pun be intended?
Mm-hmm. All right, so we got Dungeoneering can have dual wielding now, and I haven't managed to get any...
I said that already.
I know. I was saying, though, I haven't had a chance to get any decent weapons from it. But so far, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's got to be a good thing, because if you think about it, before, since November, you pretty much just had every weapon that you would have had in-game. And, you know, there's so much to be gained from dual wielding, especially now that they can do AoE attacks and whatnot. I can imagine it being very useful to get one of those Prometheum... what are they? Prometheum...
Two-handers?
Yeah, no. What's the one-handed one called? Is it a dagger?
Longsword?
Yeah, there you go. Two of those or something like that. That'd be good to have, I imagine. So, with this also comes mages, main hand and offhand mage weapons. So, basically, you don't need to worry about your combat style use out of game applying in Dungeoneering anymore. It'll just apply right on with that. So that's good, I think, because dual wielding has definitely become something people do. And without the wand option, it's really annoying to have to use a two-handed staff when you might be wanting to use a wand or something like that. So overall, this is good and probably should have come out a little bit sooner, but, you know, as usual, better late than never.
I haven't had a chance to try it out yet, although I'm pretty sure double longsword would be pretty effective, especially during boss battles, because you can do more damage. As I said before, dual wielding is more for single spiking damage, not for AoE attacks.
Yeah, but remember, you can now do AoE with dual wielding. There's only one ability to do it, but nonetheless, you can do it.
Yeah, but in my opinion, if you're going to do that, longsword is two-hander is better. Two-handed weapon is better.
Okay. But yeah, you're definitely right that is going to be the thing to use for bosses if you just want to take them down with melee and whatnot. Also, the Rangers got main hand and offhand throwing knives and a rendered selection of creatures vulnerable to thrown weapons. So that's good. So, I don't think there's much else to say about this, except these are in Dungeoneering, so you'll want to adjust your Dungeoneering strategies accordingly.
Yeah, I'm trying to get dual weaponry and see how that works out. Problem I have with it right now is I don't have any more action bars. I have to replace some of them. That's the annoying part.
Yeah.
It's not enough.
Well, hopefully with the new interface beta that's coming, that'll solve a bit of that, but we'll get there momentarily in a bit.
Sweet.
Also, with this is the Charming Imp. So 100,000 Dungeoneering tokens. Did you pick one of these up?
Yeah, I did. Small little red guy.
Yeah, and you know, it functions much the same way that the Bone Crusher herbicide does. You just keep it in your inventory, right?
Yes, you do have to have an empty spot for it to pick it up. I don't know why. You just have to. But I did a Slayer task with it and a Bone Crusher, and it was quite good. All I had to look at were just loot. I didn't have to care about charms. I didn't care about small bones. I just saw loot. If I didn't care for
Did
the loot, then I just
the
left
feature
it.
That lets you convert charm to summoning XP?
Yeah, but it's not worth it. It's so little. It's basically it's on par with burying a small bone. Gold ones, I believe, gave me around 3 or 4, and the highest one was around 18 per charm. You might as well just save it, and
Charm was 18.
The blue one.
Ooh, why would you want to give up one of those though?
Exactly. So I don't think anybody's going to use it unless they don't care anymore. But
I mean, the only ones I'd give away would be
the gold ones.
Would be my gold charms, because I don't have a use for those. I think the highest gold level thing you can make is the Arctic Bear, if I'm remembering correctly, and that thing is pretty horrible in terms of how much it costs to actually create it and what you can do with it after. So, but that'll be the one I would get rid of. And you know, the thing is, with this, it might actually give me an incentive to go dungeoneering, but just because of the charm collecting from it, but 100k tokens I don't have, and you know, I'm really not a dungeoneering person, so I don't know.
Do sinkhole for a while, you'll get that really quick.
I know. Funny you should mention that. When I actually did do a sinkhole a couple of weeks back, and when I went for the reward, I ended up with the tokens, but they weren't really that many.
There's two of them, you get them from the chest and from completing it itself.
You have to
read the chat box to see how much you get.
Yeah, I don't know. It was late. I need to put more focus on it. But sinkholes, I guess, might be a good way of doing it. I think I might have gone around 5k tokens. Does that sound about right? Or is that too many?
It depends on your level, but it sounds on par.
Okay. Hi, Benny. All right. So.
Okay. In other news, In other news, we reverted the default behavior for depositing items into a bank. You will now have to deposit a single item rather than depositing the entire stack of items. We are investigating a way of making deposit all a toggleable option in the future.
You know, I preferred it as deposit all.
On the left click option?
Yeah.
Honestly,
about you?
Honestly, I didn't really notice. I mean, until you said something, then I noticed, but I just kept always right click or just press the deposit button anyway.
And that's the thing. If I want to deposit a certain amount, I always right click, most times, even if it's one. And I mean, just having the shortcut there, I think it's a good option, but I can understand how some people just like to have it set to one, and you kind of do want to have the option on this, so it's good they reverted it, I guess, for those people.
Yeah, to be honest, every time I deposit anything in my bank, I just press the bank all option anyway, most of the time.
Yeah, that too as well. That works. Good way to dump everything in and be done with it. We'll get to the Squeal Fortune update in just a moment. But in line with player feedback, the Guthixian Hydrude in the post-quest chamber for The World Wakes now offers a reminisce option, which will allow you to rewatch the cutscenes from the quest. Yay!
Frying.
And yes, I am being serious about that. That's a good thing.
You always wanted that.
Yeah. I mean, more quests need this option, because there's so many things in these quests that happen in cutscenes, like even last year's Rune Mysteries quest and whatnot. It'd be really nice to have the ability to go rewatch all of those again. So what they did with this one was definitely a good thing.
Let me see.
Anyways, moving on to the actual patch notes. A good amount of graphical ones this week. Example
Typical.
being the wheel and sheath for the swag bag's been adjusted, and the runes on the wilderness sword have been adjusted to make the meaning more clear. And a pond of Taverly no longer has black sections near its edges. A few for the quests. Skills and minigames, also. Nothing really interesting there. Heading into the other section, automatons can now be stunned, so that's good. Players can now have an offhand weapon in their customization screen while they have a two-hand weapon equipped. That is, preview it. So if you're using one of those cosmetic overrides, that's what that's pertaining to. I think that's about it.
And Juno has a small amount of new chat for players who completed both the Chosen Commander and the World Wakes.
Oh, that's good. You know, I was wondering about that last week when I did Tears of Guthix because, if you think about it, June is tied pretty tightly to Guthix, so it'd be good to have more chat options pertaining to that.
And considering the fact that you were there, I'm pretty sure he'll this Mr. Snake,
She.
Mrs. Mr. Okay, there we go.
She.
She would be pretty angry at you, depending on what you did or wanted to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
That sounded like you're trying to get a little Portugal wee wee in the bathroom.
I don't think so. How
That's
you know
every.
that is beyond me.
Because I grew up raising, eight little monkeys.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's nice to know.
Let's see.
I
Let's
have nothing
see.
else on that unless you do.
I'm just reading up. Time to. Very
Good to
well, now,
go.
cause. Yeah, there's something left here that's worth
Okay.
mentioning.
Now, this is perhaps the most interesting update of the week. Not because of how good it is, but about how confusing it is. Squeal of Fortune submits gloves. Just going to read a bit from the news posting. Maintaining a balance between improving skills and increasing your wealth is a tricky business, so you'll want to try your hand at bagging a brand new item that lets you do both. Only available on the Squeal of Fortune this weekend. Train almost any skill while wearing Samid's gloves, and every time you gain an amount of XP, there's a chance that the gloves will produce gold out of thin air. The more you level your skills, the more money you'll make.
I
Now.
got one.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I
What do
didn't
you
use it
think?
yet, but I
Oh,
didn't use it
okay.
yet because I more or less just got it before the show started. But just by default, if you were to get rid of it, it would have given me almost 500K off the bat.
Wow.
But I asked my chat, my clan, and they were like, "No, keep it," because they said that you actually get more out of it if you actually use the stupid thing. It's like, really?
Yeah,
Okay then.
somebody in our friends chat, BitSpites, if anyone wants to join it, said that they got 180,000 gold in about an hour while cutting ivy. So, definitely worth it to keep this. But, I wasn't aware that there was a shortage of GP in the game. So,
Well.
I honestly think that putting something in this in the game like this that hands out free GP is not a good idea. Not because I'm against handing out free GP, but because I don't think that the economy needs something like this right now. Like we've known for a while, especially since summoning skill and whatnot has died down a bit, the amount of people using it in construction as well, those pre-existing money sinks aren't exactly working how they should be working. And you know, that I'm still of the conclusion that there's too much GP in the game, so I'm just confused as to why it was decided to add more. So, all right,
spin,
let's do the
Shane, spin.
Spin. Shark. Recharge. Cash bag. Nope.
Whee!
All right. So, you know, I, yeah, it's nice, but I just don't think it's the right way of doing it. Too much GP coming in is never a good thing. So,
well, it's also the way to try and encourage people to, you know, do non-combat skills. And the amount of coins you gain, from what I read, is determined by your level, your total level.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's true.
You know, if you're lower level, you get less, but if you're super way
but
up
still,
there, you get more.
I mean, I think this creates a sense that past a certain point, GP is just pocket change. And I think that point's coming down a bit.
Gotta love inflation.
Yeah, and you know, they have 100 charges, so it can happen 100 times. I'm betting that at some point, it will, they'll have a way to recharge these, just like they do with everything else on Squeal. Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't think it's good for the economy, but. Well, you know, the way this goes is that this is an easier way of saying handing out GP via Squeal than have opening up the option to buy a pack of 100k, 500k, and 1 million coins on the Solomon store, which I really don't think people would like because, you know, there's already a huge outcry in most cases to Squeal and Solomon. But like you and I have said in the past, I think it was you that said this, when a person doesn't have as much time as they'd like to play the game, you take these little boosts that you get from Squeal and Solomon as a nice thing, correct?
Yeah, I remember saying
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was remember it was from our you know old colleagues back in the other game, who you know who are working and our fathers and everything else, and you don't have they don't they can't spend to play 15 hours a day on the game. You know, it's easier for them, it's more convenient, easier for them to just spend a little bit to get you know, slightly more ahead than they would have been.
Yeah.
It's more cost effective for them.
Yeah, and you know, that's another reason why I'm perfectly fine with Squeal and whatnot. It's just a matter of whether or not it's good for the economy, which I don't think it is in this case. But nonetheless, we'll see. Maybe one of the new skills coming out this year is a money sink and we don't have to worry. I don't know.
Oh, maybe with the you know new thing, we'll have something. GP will become irrelevant. It'll be called I don't know, gold bars or something.
I don't know. Anyways, I'm done with that one. I don't think there's anything else we particularly need to discuss about it.
Spin the wheel of destiny.
The wheel of fortune. The squeal of fortune. All right,
okay.
Moving on to behind the scenes. RuneScape 3 beta program. You can sign up now. Sign up opened on the 3rd, so as you're listening to this, it's already open. Just head on over to the RuneScape webpage, and there's a big banner, and you'll be able to sign up. Those who bought Gold or Silver Premier Club don't need to sign up. You're automatically signed up. So we're good to go.
Yep. Yay.
Now, as per what this means is first you get access to the new HTML5 engine, and then after that you get access to the new interface engine, and that is fast approaching. We're actually under 2 weeks away now from having access to the HTML5 engine. I think it's April 17th, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was around that time. So 2 weeks. Week and a half. It's on a Wednesday.
Yeah. So that's one thing that's happening this month. Another thing happening this month, and we got the video, the behind-the-scenes video to go around it, is the Castle Wars rework. That's one of the first mini games that was put into RuneScape in something like November 2005.
It was kind
Remember
of
back
cool.
then?
Yes. We're also newbies back in the day, remember?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's about time Castle Wars got a bit of a makeover. They reworked the entire lobby system, as well as the graphics inside, and made a few other tweaks to it. They actually made it appear bigger and grander while using the actual same amount of space, just like they've done with the other reworks. So I highly encourage everyone to watch the video BTS on that. A link is in the show notes. Also with this, they've adjusted the tickets. So the Castle Wars tickets have been replaced with new gold and silver tickets. Silver ones are going to be spent on consumables, and you get them whether you win, lose, or draw. And the gold ones are what you get to spend on the more important items, so the armor and whatnot. And you'll get those if you win or draw. Also, something we've wanted for a long time, you're now going to be able to wear helmets into the Castle Wars arena.
Yes!
Finally.
Full Barrows finally works in there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Barrows came out in 2006, and...
Actually, you know what would be kind of nice?
What?
You know, if if there was a Slayer Masters that you had to slay men, and as you go in there, you can wear your Slayer helmet, and it works with all the player there.
You know, that would make sense, actually. That would make sense. That would be a good assignment to have.
Can you imagine how many level 200s be going to the level 1 Slayer Master trying to get men before going in there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're also improving the stats of the reward armor to give them a hybrid use, and they're geared towards the multi-combat style that you use inside Castle Wars. So that's good. And the completion cape owners are either going to love or they're going to hate this, but there's going to be some changes pertaining to that, because the current requirement for the trimmed completionist cape is 5,000 Castle Wars wins. So it'll be interesting to see what exactly happens with that. I know if I already had a trimmed completionist cape, I wouldn't want them to be cutting that number down at all, because, you know, you spend that much time on it, doesn't make sense that other people should be able to get the completion escape faster than you.
Honestly, I think after all of this, you gotta have a trim completion escape. You know, just getting it once is enough for me. I'm like, no. Got it once, took my picture, I'm done.
You don't have a completion escape.
I know. I said if I ever had one, I wouldn't try to kill myself anymore trying to keep it.
Okay.
All right.
Duel Arena is also getting a rework. They're reducing the number of arenas visible, but for anybody who can't get into one of those to combat overcrowding, you'll be put into an instanced arena. So that's nice that we're using more instancing.
Yeah, okay.
More on that when it comes out. We'll have to play with that. But the biggest updates of the month are actually these next three, I think. First one will be the Hunter Charms, and that's to do with the charm sprites that were added back in 2010. So they're going to be making it faster. It's going to be reworked to be more fun, easier to use, and more rewarding, which anybody who's played that minigame will know that it's painfully slow to get charms. You're better off going to camp at the Water Fiends or something like that.
Which one was
and charm sprite hunting south of Ardoyan there.
Oh, right.
Or north, I mean.
Hmm.
Basically, they're going to be getting, quote, many more charms from the activity, including more blue and crimson charms than before. So that's nice. Hmm. And they're also adding a mystical charm slice that'll act as a wild card.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I really hope this will become an alternate method to get charms. Because if you think about it, they wanted to do this before, but obviously this is another piece of dead content, so it needs to be revived, and that's always a good thing. But remember what happened last year with runecrafting and the runespan?
Mm-hmm.
What if they wanted to do something like that with summoning? Just to make it less tedious and take less time to train.
Then it wouldn't be a money sink skill.
Yeah, that's true. But you would still need to buy the ingredients, which is the main thing that people spend on.
Well, you remember the video a couple of years ago where if you were rich enough, you went to the one in Taverly, sold your Yoda tertiary thing, buy a bag, and do all that other stuff. So.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can actually still do that with the new store set up there.
I did it a couple weeks ago.
There you go.
Only had a couple, so I was like, I thought I'd just use it up.
And, you know, I don't think Jagex likes training methods where you just stand in one place doing it like you do now with summoning. So that's what leads me to believe that we're going to see some sort of change to it. Maybe this summer, and this update here will be one pillar of that change. Wishful thinking, of course, but that'd be nice.
Yeah.
They're going to be updating EOC again. So what do you think of these changes?
Let me try to open that page up.
They're making your hard-earned stats mean more in combat, meaning players with the best stats will have significant advantages over players that don't, and the monsters you are fighting will suffer the full force of your combat skills. So does this mean that having 99 and everything now will be the be-all and end-all of combat? Because if you think about it, for a long time, even before EOC, you really didn't notice a difference past level 95, I want to say. Into how much damage you did and everything.
Maybe with 3, they can get more action bars first. But like I said before, they need combination skills, not just press 1, 2, 3, 4. They need combinations to use the skill with that one and everything else. So once that happens, EOC is second rate. Because so far, all we can do is just, you know, stun them and have one skill that will take advantage of it. And that's, it doesn't work.
Yeah. They're changing the armor stats to bring back the choice between defensive and offensive armor. Lots of people screamed about this one. And personally, I supported Jagex's stance on EOC armors, is that armor should be purely defensive. They should not be giving you offensive bonuses like strength bonuses. That just doesn't make sense from armor. But nonetheless, armor coming back, it'll be classed as offensive, defensive, or hybrid gear with stats to match. As an example, the Gib Bandos will be offense-oriented, all about increasing your max hit. And they're also going to be improving basic programming that improves things like hit chances.
Let's see.
Also, potions and prayers are going to be made more effective. Something people have wanted for quite some time, I think. So, yeah. I know lots of people were upset when this came out.
Actually, herbs right now are going up a bit.
Well, yeah, they would be if people think potions are going to be sought after again. So that's always a good thing.
Too bad we can't sell the extremes.
Yeah. I mean, that would be nice. But then again, that removes the whole need of having to get such high herb lore. So either way you look at it.
Well, give us an NPC to sell the thing to.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Actually, no, you hate that.
Why?
You know what? It would be nice to trade those stuff into an NPC. Get a random chance of getting herbal or items or something like that.
And finally, something we've been wanting for years, private God Wars dungeons. So that's nice. So, for instance, it'll be crash-free private God Wars. So I'm wondering what the minimum party size is going to be, but it's going to be nice to actually have something where you can just say you want to go in with these sets of people. You don't want to be interrupted. It's just you guys, and there you go.
And for those who want a tougher challenge, a hard mode can be accessed. In this mode, the God of War bosses feature in the world's wake all have their new combat mechanics and they have in the quest. With higher stats, these guys are really, really strong and can be accessed by you and a group of your friends. Far more valuable drops, two sharks instead of one, and then their normal brethren.
It's just like Elite luck, and normal STFs.
And with my luck, the only thing I get is a double the amount of sharks. Double chance of getting items. What did I get? Double amount of Serodomin brew. Oh, that's nice. Very tank. I couldn't even carry the
whole
thing.
That was hilarious. Anyways, and then XP additions for doing small things in game. So April looks like it'll be a good month, doesn't it?
Looks nice. All they need now is to get the contractors to fix up Edgeville.
I think you mention that every week.
It's been more than a year already.
Yeah. All right, Players Gallery 43 results. So this was the one where people sent in their entries for the World Wakes, and they got their top three highlighted right here. The first one was created by, unsurprisingly, Born to Design. Illustration of Guthix as a god born of pain. Looks very nice. You can see in the background the little platforms of his old realm and whatnot. And you can actually, it kind of looks like one of the things there was a Guthix symbol in the background.
Where?
Right above his head. Right above his head.
The small one or the big one?
The bigger one. The bigger one. See it?
No.
Okay, well, maybe I just see it then. Oh, well.
Well, if it's there, I probably don't see it because I'm zoomed in and don't know exactly where you want me to look at. Okay, well, it doesn't matter.
The second place person, or the honorable mention, was a dreamlike image titled called Roll Awoken. And then the third place was Last Tears of Guthix. So, good work to everybody that sent those in. They look pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And finally, moving on to the last thing, the community roundup, featuring more community artwork, even an interesting sea shanty remix. So we'll just give a listen to that right now. What do you think?
Yeah, not my kind of song to listen to looping.
Okay. All right. Also in the community roundup, there's two other things worth mentioning. Scape Skill putting his boss battling to the stamina, and he's doing a 24-hour live stream to raise money for Breast Cancer UK.
Good for them.
You know, back in the olden days, I thought maybe something like this could happen, and I wasn't sure if somebody would be able to rally enough support to put something like this together. But it's good to see that actually someone is attempting this. I didn't know if it was possible, but all the best luck to him. for running an online fundraiser like this using a game like RuneScape. So
yeah, maybe we can take pointers.
yeah, and you know, also we like to say thank you to Jagex for this. We got to mention in the behind the scenes, the community roundup here, for specifically highlighting our RSBNB Informer hiring. More on that later in the show. So I think that's it for RS updates this week.
Okay, then.
You have anything else?
RS update? No, but I did actually bought something from the Solomon store.
What'd you buy?
I bought the Vector pack for Kicks and Giggles.
What did you buy?
The actor pack.
Oh, okay.
So I basically can do a whole Shakespearean play by myself if I make a GIF out of it.
All right. Well, with that being said, shall we move on to questions?
Okay.
All righty. We got two audio questions this week. I'd just like to remind everybody that when sending an audio question in, especially through Skype, make sure that your internet connection is good. We had another audio question come in through Skype, but because the person who was recording the audio question on Skype had a bad internet connection, the audio quality was not up to par. So always best to email your question in, and second best is the phone option if you can. Anyways, this first person did not include a name when they sent in their question. Nonetheless, we will play his question.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to ask if you guys think that because of the shape of a Kevit in the game RuneScape, do you think that possibly like it could be a political statement by Jagex that due to their likeness to a human fetus, that fetuses are in fact not human, and that abortion should, if not be expanded, or if not be accepted, be expanded under our current society? Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay, Shane, first and foremost, a kibbutz does not look like a human fetus.
Well, you tell him that, not me.
Oh, Shane, you know it does not. That's a total exaggeration. If you're going to do that, you might as well say RS like slave labor.
It's not like slave labor. Let me pull up a Kebit here. I don't know. I mean, I never thought of that before, but it could.
Shane, it doesn't look like a fetus. Let's not go into the whole conspiracy theory crap, okay?
Yeah,
If you're going to do this, Shane, you might as well also make a connection that everything you do in RS is about slave labor.
How is it about slave labor?
Look in the Citadel. You're doing something to make something look better. You don't really gain anything from the Citadel. You're just mining rocks. Ooh, mine rocks, trying to sell it. Oh, but my raw materials, the end result is, you know, after working for everything, the end result is worth a lot less than if I just sold the thing by itself. Come on.
I don't know.
Let's not do the whole abortion thing, all right? It's too late in the night to do it.
It's not that late.
It is late enough. I'm tired.
You know, I think that it kind of does look like that, but I'm not willing to go out on the limb and say it's a statement made by Jagex pertaining to that. Nevertheless, while I do agree with what our questioner said, I don't think it's a little hidden message by Jagex. I don't think they'd do that for a hunting skill.
Besides, if you were to do a whole conspiracy theory thing, you might as well look in the old picture back a couple years ago when someone found a, quote unquote, a cross in the middle of the field. And it's like, And that was just totally stupid. It was blown out of proportion, and it became a stupid viral little picture thing over on the RS community. And it
I
was
found
just.
a Gothic symbol in the wilderness.
Remember, he did. Wait, he buried his sword in the wilderness and everything. Yeah, I'm sure he leaves signs of himself somewhere in the wilderness.
Exactly.
Alright, can we move on now?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for submitting that question. I think lots of things like that in the future do need to be addressed further.
Sexy George Bush.
That was a typo taken out of context.
Okay, let's move
Dear
on
host,
to.
when you sign up for an account, do you read the terms and conditions? Bye.
No.
Yeah, I don't read the terms and conditions either. Primarily because most of them are like 13 pages long in small 10-point font. I think pretty much in this day and age, everyone just scrolls through them and yeah. Unless it's like a legal document to buy something. I don't think many people read terms and conditions anymore.
And there was an internet joke a couple years ago where like people who just do that, they should have a term and condition that says that this company now owns your house, your car, your computer, your video game, and your life for like 17 years. South Park actually made fun of that, where if you agree to terms and conditions for getting an iPod, Apple owns you, which actually that is kind of true.
Apparently, with songs bought on iTunes, there's something in the terms and conditions through a whole bunch of legalese and whatnot means that
You don't own it. You don't
you
really
don't
own it.
actually own the song. So if you die, you can't necessarily transfer, give your music library away to someone. So, I mean, all these things are in the terms and conditions, but really, for the casual end user, it doesn't mean much. So, while we all should be taking note of them, I don't think people do or will.
Yeah, all right. Let's not get into more of the other junk. So let's move on to the next one, shall we?
Yep, give it a read.
All right, this question is, auto question from Knack. We had a typo here,
Oh,
Shane.
oop. Yep, that's
Got
a
it.
typo.
Okay, question from Knack. Good insert time that you are recording here. Host, whose name I am too lazy to type out right now. I am typing here to ask you a question. Honestly, if I had to tell you that, well, you may have a slight case of severe brain damage. My question is this: fine, insert I'm here, comes to you in two parts. One, what is your favorite vegetable? And two, if that vegetable were sentient and became the equivalent of your pet cat or dog, whichever one you have, what would you name said vegetable? Thank you, and it's great to ask the question again. Sincerely, Knack.
It's
All
good to
right.
see that people have imaginations out there.
Okay, Shane, you go first.
Well, I don't know. Carrots are nice and simple. I'll say carrot.
What would you name it?
Sticky.
Why stick? Oh, sticky.
Because it looks like a
Okay.
stick.
Would you like to see my stink?
No.
Let's see. Favorite vegetable? Shoot.
Parsnip. You can be the albino version of a carrot.
It's called a white carrot.
Oh, really? I thought
Yes.
parsnips were albino carrots.
There's actually a Chinese root that we call a white carrot. And it's
Oh,
basically a
okay.
carrot that's white and it's about four times the size of a regular carrot. It's quite good, actually, especially if you boil it long enough and let it kind of soak in the water and kind of soften up.
Okay.
Let's see. I don't have a favorite carrot. Favorite carrot,
You mean a
that's nice.
favorite vegetable?
It's a funny thing because it was Bill Nye the Science Guy that actually got me eating carrots when I was little.
Oh,
I used
God.
to.
I
No, I'm
don't
dead
like
serious.
him.
Yes, because he's liberal. Yeah, but when I was younger, I hated eating carrots until I was watching him and talking about that was actually good for your eyes. I was like, oh, okay, where am I? Can I get more carrots now? I was like, so to this day, I eat carrots. That's the only reason why I eat carrots, because of him. I'm dead serious.
So is that your favorite one as well, or something else?
I don't know. He just that was my life childhood changing moment. Let's see. If I have a favorite veggie. I don't have one, honestly. Broccoli is good. I guess I'll call him Mr.
Ew.
Broccoli.
Oh yeah, that's good. That's good. Mr. Broccoli.
Yes, it's a Star Trek reference. Don't ask. Let's just go. Let's just move on, Shane. Broccoli's good. Come on, let's eat your broccoli, Shane. Why are you
All
laughing?
right. Next question. Read it while I sit here and
All
enjoy
right.
myself.
Okay. Hello, hosts. With RS3 beta around the corner, a very important update has been overshadowed. It's the first major patch to the ELC. What do you think of the updated stats system and differentiated armor for offensive and defensive? Would this add back the depth and armor for you to use once again? Do you think these updates will fix a lot of the problems with the EOC and bring back more players? Also, what do you think of potions once again having better effect based on levels? Thank you. If for once it would be actually kind of nice to have my anti-fire potions last longer, if that is the
Yeah,
case.
yeah. But I just can't get behind armor being offensive again. I just can't. I much prefer it how it is now, being purely defensive, because that just makes sense. It doesn't make sense how wearing
Oh.
something would give you stronger unless it was magic based. And then
Yes,
we're into the hybriding thing.
I remember a lot of armor besides regular armor are magically imbued. I mean, look at
Exactly.
all the god
But
armor, there's magical properties to it. What's wrong with
Bandos giving
Bendis?
strength?
Hey, he's a big brute guy. He infused with
I don't
superhuman
know.
strength.
I don't know. I mean, that part doesn't make sense. What does make sense to me for hybriding is to have defensive and offensive things that are good, balanced towards a certain class. So let's take, for example, the value of a level 70 piece of armor. Let's just, for the hell of it, say it's going to be about 1800, okay? Let's say a
Right.
level 70 piece of armor has an armor value of 1800. Now, let's say this is a pure melee piece of armor, but let's say we change this up and make it a hybrid piece of armor so that it's melee and magic based. You would then cut that in two, well, maybe cut that in two, maybe 67-33. 67% goes to the melee side, 33% goes to the magic side. I mean, I think that makes a whole lot more sense for hybriding, more than having armor that is hybrid offensive defensive. Because, I mean, armor is armor, and the very definition of armor. Armor is it something to protect yourself with, so I don't think that it should be giving you offensive bonuses. Like if I look up for the d definition of armor right now, it says, let's see, the metal coverings formerly worn by soldiers or warriors to protect the body in battle. So there you go, protect. So, like I said, unless it's magic based, I don't think it should be giving offensive bonuses. Now, coming back to what you said about does it give people the incentive to come back to the game? I think so. And once again, I think that's what's behind this change. I know there's probably some part of Jagex in the back of their minds that would prefer to have it how it is now. Because if you think about it, we're really late on this set of EOC changes. EOC's been out since November now, That's almost 6 months ago. So this is a late change. And I'm thinking that they might be looking at what's happening on the 2007 servers and seeing that these people who are on there want this hybrid defensive gear, which they're bringing back just to get them into the game. Now, as to whether or not that's a good thing, I don't know. It depends on how Jagex wants to design the RuneScape EOC experience. If they want to make it a true player experience, then they're doing the right thing. But if they're going for a specific goal in mind, I don't think they're doing the right thing. They got to take their choice. Do you want something that's well-designed, or do you want to make compromises just to get people to like you? And personally, I'd rather ship something that's well-designed and lose some of my people than bent over backwards to please them. Okay. What do you think on this?
What do I think on the whole armor thing? You know what? I have one set as borrows. I'm not planning on changing it anytime soon. I'm just going to keep it as it is. I got my range set, I got my mage set, and I'm waiting for them to... Would like to get some hybrid armor, but those things are possible to get.
Yeah, but I don't think this is hybrid armor in the way you and I are thinking of it.
I think it's
hybrid offensive defensive.
I know it's not, but, you know... I really don't care. I just have three sets, one for each class, and that's about it. I can't afford the higher up ones.
I don't know. I think we're starting to lose what the purpose of EOC was with this coming back. Because if they went back to some of the EOC Q&As and, you know, they said everything. I think there was one out there that said something along the lines that armor should have been defensive, and I think Mod Mark might have even said that they wanted to clean everything up, and here we go again, diverging on that. So, I don't know. Oh, potions. Okay. Better
potions,
effects based on levels.
Oh, the tsunami thing?
No, potions.
Oh, they said,
did you not read the question?
I heard you say ocean. I was like, huh? Potions, better effect. Oh, I just set the hold and super anti-fire potion lasting longer. That would be nice.
I don't know if they do that, though. That never did before.
It would be nice.
What I'm thinking is things like the extreme attacks and whatnot will be percentage-based again, based on your level, which is a good thing, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
So... That part of the update is good. All right, everyone. Thank you for the questions this week. Good ones all around. Just a reminder about the audio questions. The preferred method is to email the file to questions@rsbnb.com. The second preferred option is to phone them in to the Google Voice number, which is 571-572-26-32, or leave us a voicemail on Skype, providing you have a good internet connection. All right. Tech news.
All right. First things first. We have the Google release of full Google Glass.
Yeah, it's basically a preview video showing... what it would look like to be using Google Glass.
Yeah, a lot of companies have been doing this for the past couple of years. They're really going to the whole... Thinking the wrong thing. The glasses thing. Okay, never mind. Forget if I said anything, Shane. Shutting up.
Okay. What were you on?
we're all sticking up the whole Samsung transparent computerized glass... transparent glass thing they had a couple of years back. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
Like, not the glasses.
I see. Anyways, have a watch through some of this video if you want to see what Google Glass looks like if you are wearing it. Also some of the developer stuff, which is interesting too if you're at all interested in programming or anything like that. But Google Glass is still in the beginning stages, far from being done. But reports do say that the device is expected to arrive on the market for the general public later this year. How much do you think it'll cost?
I say to start out, maybe $350.
I don't know. I mean, the sample sets that got out to people were $1,500 a piece. So...
Well, there's always the idea of, you know, supply and demand, but, well, yeah, I guess $300 may be lowballing it, and that's basically the price of a regular pair of prescription glasses. I, however, will not get it because I wear glasses, and it's
me too. So I'd need it as an add-on.
So, you know, unless they design it that way where you can wear prescription glasses and have this, have the lens work for you, it's not happening with me. I don't like, that's why we don't like 3D TV, because we have to wear glasses on top of glasses. That's just annoying. And it hurts my freaking eyes.
Yep, same. So, nonetheless, just imagine the possibilities of wearing a Google Glass thing and a Bluetooth headset. You'd be able to talk to people on the phone without actually needing a phone.
Actually, you know, it's been quite easy to spy on people too, because it's a freaking camera in the front.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, that's what it's supposed to do as well. It's supposed to recognize people, and then it can tag them and whatnot in pictures. So you definitely have to have the right viewpoint of the world in order to be doing this, and your friends need to have the right viewpoint as well. And, you know, I imagine we're going to have full disclosure kind of things, like, to make sure that, you know, you're not going to be snapping photos of people when they don't want to be pictured.
Actually, it would be nice if you added a little red laser to it and become all Borgy.
Oh, you just had to throw that in, didn't you?
Why not? All right, moving on. Next one.
I'd love to try this.
Yeah, if they release it in the store, you can try it in the store. Just don't do anything naughty with it. Next up, we have Facebook Home.
So this is going on a phone called the HTC First. So basically, it's deep Facebook integration on the Android OS. The introduction says, with Home, everything on your phone gets friendlier. From the moment you turn it on, you see a steady stream of friends' posts and photos. Up front, notifications and quick access to your essentials mean you'll never miss a moment. And you can keep chatting with friends even when you're using other apps. It's all part of Facebook Home. There's no other phone app or operating system like it.
Shane,
thank God this is
right
Android
now?
Only. Huh?
You hear me right now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good. My computer completely
froze up
on me.
As I said, thank God this is Android only.
Why? Oh, iPhone thing?
Yeah, I mean...
Apple.
You know, I just think this is a little too far for Facebook integration. I mean, you want your phone to be productive, and I don't see how you can be productive if you're going to have status updates and photos flying up and filling your home screen.
You do realize this is really designed for the teenage girl.
I know, but I mean, anybody...
It's the reason why they built on a very slim cell phone. And, you know, most guys I know, you prefer something a little more bulky because they can actually feel the phone.
Yeah. And I mean, the example they give is that notifications, event, and Facebook updates and other apps all appear on your home screen and stick around until you need them. But, you know, I guess maybe we just don't understand the kind of people who would want something like this, because I know I would never, like, I don't use the Facebook thing. So I don't even see how somebody would want this deep of integration. Like, do you know anyone who would want this?
As I said, teenage girls.
Okay, are you going to install it on your phone?
I don't even have Facebook. Why would I even install it on my phone?
Oh, right. Oops, forgot about that.
All right, I don't care for Facebook. I'm waiting for Mark Zuckerberg to basically bury it and take all the money and go to Cuba.
Other examples they give on the home screen, you can choose what goes where, either Facebook Messenger or Instagram. Drag your picture wherever you want it to go, so whether it be a person or an app. And, you know, you might be right on aiming this at the teenager market, because the HTC first phone is only a $99 phone on contract compared to other things.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And odds are, if you're renewing a contract, you probably can get it for free under a family plan or something.
Yeah, and imagine how many of these things are going to go around. But there's one thing I want to say about this Facebook Home experience. The design of this is great. The way they do their visual design and everything, the way the website is designed, the way the pictures are designed, the way the UI is designed, everything looks good. And I think, you know, for some of the dumb Android phones out there, the ones that aren't running stock Android, I think this could actually be a bit of an upgrade, maybe.
Hmm.
Which one do you have again?
Hmm?
Which phone do you have again?
Bionic Motorola.
Okay, and is it running stock Android?
No, I rooted it.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, you don't apply then. All right.
Uh-huh.
So that's Facebook Home. Let us know if you're installing this. I personally have not come across a person who will be installing this on Android, but that could just be the kind of people I associate with.
Yes, Apple fanboys.
No. Non-Facebook nerd types.
Apple fanboys.
No.
Okay, moving on to the next one, we have Blink.
Blink is going to be the new rendering engine for Chrome. The Chrome web browser. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this affects what RuneScape does. That's the reason I put this in here. Because the new RuneScape experience, HTML5, is going to be tailored specifically to Chrome. Now, one would think that this would also mean it can be run on other HTML5 capable browsers like Safari and Internet Explorer 10. But the fact that Chrome is switching away from WebKit, its current rendering engine, to this new one that they're creating called Blink, a fork of WebKit, is going to be interesting to see about whether the applications that are tailored specifically for Chrome, like RuneScape, are going to work as well in other web browsers. So it's a little bit concerning, and it's almost fragmenting the market, but I can see why Google wants to do this. It's going to, I think, come down to a whole war of, once again, Chrome is going to diverge off in a different path from Safari and now Opera on WebKit and all the other mobile browsers out there. So, I don't know. Nonetheless, Chrome is good, but just something to think of if you're considering swapping a web browser. You might want to stick with Chrome in general if you're wanting to play RuneScape in the new HTML5 format. And I'd like to know what Jagex's thoughts are on this. So if anyone out there from Jagex is listening, send me an email with your thoughts. Shane@rsmb.com. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, that's shit.
Okay, right. Shall we move on to the April skill of the month?
Yes, and hey, it's actually relatively close right now.
Well, we're less than a week in.
Yeah, but you know, usually we see a giant with much wider gap. Usually we determines who's already in it.
But it is cooking nonetheless.
Yeah, who can sit at the fire all day long?
Yep. So this cooking skill of the month, currently Flash is in first place with 3.7 million, almost 3.8 million XP gained. But it's also worth noting that this is a natural cooker because his starting cooking XP was roughly 42 million, 42.5. Second place is Anoy at 3.1 million XP gained, and third place is Parnassius at 1.1. So we are seeing a bit of a race here, which is still good. So with it being cooking, you know, this is a fairly wide open field, so everyone is able to have an equal shot at it. So it looks good. Look forward to seeing what happens next week.
Okay.
Next up, achievements of the week. First one is JAM Andy 52 with 99 summoning on April 4th. Congratulations.
We got Parcel Mouth, who got 99 Fletching on April 4th, and Parcel Mouth again, who got 99 Slayer on March 29th. Congratulations to you too.
Seems like Parcel Mouth is almost maxed. I wonder what the stats are at. Let me just have a look about this, because we've been naming lots of his 99s recently. Let's see, how many 99s are we missing? Attack. Fishing.
Stalker.
Mining, smithing, agility, thieving, hunter, and yeah. So only a couple of them left to get, but nonetheless, good work all the way around. Oops. Your pick?
Yeah. All right, so Shane, what day is today?
Today is April 5th. 2013.
And in the world of the sci-fi world, what day is today?
First contact day.
Yay! It's the day when their friend Cochrane met a bunch of pointy ear humanoids from space. So what's a better way to celebrate this? Thanks, Shane. You had to buzz me. Here's a little Chrome experiment. Here's a little view. Here's a little view of the Milky Way galaxy. So Shane, why don't you take a tour of it?
I already did. It's a very interesting thing that you chose here. It starts by grabbing all the stellar data, and then you can zoom in and zoom out of the Milky Way galaxy. So you know you start with. Zooming all the way into our sun, then you see our planet and everything orbiting around it. Things also like neighborhood objects like the Oort cloud, which is the surrounding debris field around our solar system, basically lots of ice chunks and whatnot. Then you zoom out and see, oh yeah, there's one light year and just our sun. Zoom all the way in, then all the way out nearby stars like Alpha and Proxima Centauri. Jalice 570, Sirius, let's see, where's another one? Vega is also here. So it's a good way to explore the stellar neighborhood and then zoom all the way out and you can see the entire Milky Way galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And, yeah, and what's kind of good is that you can actually, as you're zooming, I can click on the different stars to get a little information from them as well. And of course, This is a Chrome experiment. It is better to view this on Chrome, not Firefox or, God forbid,
IE. Are you using Chrome yet?
I have it. That's it. Shane, okay. Leave me alone.
All right.
Yeah.
And, you know, for what it's worth, it's also very nicely designed in terms of how they do the typography and whatnot with this and the universe backdrop. So a good way of looking at it. Something also kind of familiar like this, if you want a perspective from on Earth rather than outside the Milky Way, I've used it as a pick before. It's an iPad application called Starwalk. Basically get a view of anywhere you want in the sky and you can get information on it. So same kind of thing, except just different perspective. Good pick.
Okay. Next.
All right, so RSBNB Informer is hiring. We're looking for a RuneScape writer. So if you like writing about RuneScape or you feel you have something to say, you always have an opinion on an update or you have an opinion on the way things are going in RuneScape and you want to talk about it, you might want to consider joining RSBNB Informer. Basically, what you want to do is fill out the application in that you give us your RuneScape name, how long you've been playing, your general location / time zone, and an email address to get in contact with you. Then what we want you to do is write a 750-word article at least covering anything in RuneScape. So you name it, just pick. You can fill it up, and then we will get back to you if you're the winning contestant. So Already got a, I think, one or two of them. So, looking forward to reading more of them. Link is in the show notes, as always. So, what have you been up to?
Just working. RS-wise, managed to do the occultist storyline and do a little bit of thieving, and I managed to sneak in a couple of low-level dungeoneering runs because I need to clear those up. Other than that,
But you did this before the dual-wielding update, correct?
Yeah, even if I didn't, I wouldn't have gotten any of the new weapons anyway, because it's all level 1.
Right.
D1. But did my kingdom, and I got a nice, decent batch of glories that I made, so I'm happy with that.
And you're making profit off it, which is always good.
Yes, profit.
Greed is eternal.
Greed will also lead to your downfall.
Maybe. We'll see.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, anything else?
Nope.
Okay. As for me this week, didn't do much in RuneScape, like you said. Rather than doing the kingdom, I actually did check out the Tears of Guthix thing. But with the revised text after the update there, I also did a couple farming runs. Right now, I find that I'm in a holding pattern kind of thing because I'm waiting for the HTML5 update to come out before I get doing any kind of combat stuff. And I want to see how that's going to affect my next skill, which is level 90 smithing, which I already have the ingredients for. Got to smith something like 13,000 or 10,000. I forget which. Gold bars. Then you know what I'm going to do with those?
Turn them into bracelets?
Yep, that's right. Taking a page out of your book and doing it the cheap way.
Hey, that cheap way makes money.
It does, but it's painfully slow.
That's why you turn on a good TV and you watch it as you do it. Or
yep.
Actually take out your own work and do it.
Or that. You know, I've never found a way of successfully programming and working on RuneScape at the same time, unfortunately. Which is something I'd like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I'm finished if you are.
Yeah, come apply. We always are interested in having good writers in our bandwagon.
Yeah. And you know, Informer is one of the greatest RuneScape things to write for because we give you complete freedom of what you want to write, pertaining it is to the current version of RuneScape. I should mention that is the only restriction is that it is for the current version of RuneScape. If you play 2007, you would need to play the main version of the game because that is what our focus is right now. So, yeah. With that being said, we'll see you guys all next week and get to talk about Castle Wars. Yes. See you next week, everyone.
Bye.